Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
All right, as we begin the official New Year week here on January the 6th, I want to welcome back to the show my buddy, my friend, a patriot, a guy who's fighting communists at every turn and fighting for American energy independence. That, of course, is the one and only Daniel Turner, Power of the Future executive and also the founder himself. Daniel Turner, Happy New Year, buddy.
Oh, Rich, it is a great way to kick off 2025 being on your program with your wonderful listeners. Thank you, sir.
And first of all, we were also doing this on the day that little Castro, Justin Trudeau, has announced his resignation as Prime Minister of Canada. Farewell to this tyrant. Any parting words to Justin Trudeau, Daniel Turner?
You know, he learned his lesson, I hope. I hope his party learned their lesson that, you know, the ideas that they espouse as devout progressives only live in their head. When they're put into reality, they just bring about misery, poverty, and they ruin people's lives. There's, you know, no example of a socialist utopia anywhere. And so when will these guys learn that just because in their head these things are true does not mean in reality they ever are the facts? So he ruined Canada just the way the socialists ruin everything.
Yeah, their ideas never work. They're popular with college kids who don't know any better. They're Che Guevara posters on the wall and their hacky sacks. Yeah. But in reality, it just doesn't work. And one of my favorite things I heard in college once from a friend of mine who identified as a socialist at the time, I don't know if he still does, I haven't talked to him in years, but was it's just never been tried right. You know, Daniel, it's just never been tried right.
Exactly. Yeah, what we just need is a little bit more experiment. And I look at that when it comes to energy in the last 4 years of the Biden administration. Right. Biden's had 4 years of basically unimpeded, uninterrupted green policies. We saw what it did to the price of food, of all goods, of all services. We saw what it did to inflation, to housing markets. We saw what it did to utilities and gas prices and hot water heater prices, et cetera. So when would it work? Right. I mean, besides the $1 trillion that they've spent, when does the good part of going green kick in? And that's socialism as well. They'd be like, well, we just haven't tried it right. Well, when you've had it unimpeded, right? Eastern Europe had it. The Soviet Union had it. What's this magic formula, again, that only exists in your mind, that if only these circumstances were around, then it would work? Green hasn't worked. Red has never worked. And so that's the battle on our hands. And I think as Trump is getting ready to be inaugurated, that battle's only going to begin. And the hard work is now just starting.
I agree. And he's got to get in there on day one on January 20th and undo a lot of the damage that Biden has done. But even on the way out the door, President Joe Biden is still causing chaos. So the latest thing today, he issues a sweeping ban on oil and natural gas drilling ahead of the Trump administration, Daniel Turner. So he says, quote, my decision, which of course is not his decision because he doesn't even decide what pudding he's eating. My decision reflects what coastal communities, businesses and beachgoers have known for a long time. That drilling off these coasts could cause irreversible damage to places we hold dear. An 11th hour executive action, 625 million acres of U.S. coastal and offshore waters.
Yeah. It's really catastrophic. About 15% of our oil and gas comes from offshore development. So that's a large percentage. Around 30% of the world's oil and gas comes from offshore development. And so Biden is taking these steps. Couple things it raises. One, if this were so important for the health of the planet or to combat climate change, which is, of course, the pretext, if this were such an important step, then why did they wait 4 years to do it? Because previously, when this administration thought they had the cure, they rammed it down your throat, whether you wanted it or not, right? When they said the vaccine is going to stop COVID, you're getting it. And if you don't want it, well, then you're getting fired. You're getting court-martialed. If you don't put on your mask, you're not allowed to leave the house, because that's how serious the threat is. And that's how positive we are in the cure. Well, if you're so positive in this cure to combat the climate, it took you 4 years. So right off the bat, we know this has nothing to do with the climate. It's pure just political hamstringing of the incoming administration. But when you look at how much oil and gas comes from offshore, it really weakens America. Further evidence of that, China operates in the Gulf of Mexico right now. The largest offshore oil platform in the world is built by and operated by China in partnership with Mexico, and it's in the Gulf. Russia is operating in the Arctic. So our enemies are on our doorstep, right? They're in international waters, but we're not allowed to drill for oil and gas in those waters, but Russia is, China is. So again, it's just punishing America and making our enemies stronger.
Now, here's what Caroline Leavitt, the incoming White House press secretary, our buddy, said, quote, "This is a disgraceful decision designed to extract political revenge on the American people who gave President Trump a mandate to increase drilling and lower gas prices. Rest assured, Joe Biden will fail and we will drill, baby, drill." So I'm assuming that as soon as Trump gets in there, since Biden's doing this by executive order, Trump can reverse it by executive order. And I imagine he's going to do that right away.
He will, and then it's going to get thrown to the courts. And this is what happened in the previous Trump administration. Obama did very similar things in 2016 as he was leaving office. Trump reversed them. You have hundreds of environmental groups with billions of dollars and now a bone to pick. And so they will immediately sue, and everything will get delayed years. And that's exactly what will happen right now, is we will have lawsuits and we'll have litigation, and all these environmental groups will use this galvanizing donors, activists, because they're the ones standing up to the reckless Trump administration. And then you'll have, you know, the headlines: Donald Trump proposes drilling in protected waters. Well, the water's only been protected for about a minute and a half, but that's not going to be the headline. The headline is, we're the bad guys, Biden is the good guy, and Trump is once again reckless, et cetera, et cetera. Look, I have talked about this before, and I'll emphasize it as often as I can come on your wonderful program. Climate change is going to make a huge resurgence this year. And the main reason why is because it unites the left. Without the controversy of BLM, without the heat of abortion, without the awkwardness of the trans things, right? The left doesn't have anything to unite around. It doesn't have a leader, doesn't have a vision, but it always has climate change. And climate change even gets weak Republicans on board. So I think climate change is getting ready for its golden era. And actions like this by the Biden administration will just help the climate lunatics have something to rally around.
All right. You made a great point about weak Republicans. And we know a number of them who, as governors, did the same kind of crap, right? Like Chris Christie, Larry Hogan. What is the boogeyman of offshore drilling? And I also want to make the point, Daniel Turner, which, of course, we've talked about a million times, which is the left has no problem with the damage it's doing to the ocean when it comes to building massive wind turbines higher than the Eiffel Tower, thousands of them, that are killing whales and dolphins. Like, that has no impact whatsoever. But what is the boogeyman around offshore drilling? Is it just the fact that they just go to people, oh, it's water and your kids swim in it, and therefore it must be bad?
Exactly. It's the same boogeyman as Three Mile Island, which, of course, Pennsylvanians have heard for the last 50, Three Mile Island. And then you say, well, what's so scary about Three Mile Island? And people don't even know. They're just like, well, I heard something once back in the day. It does create this idea that there's something to be afraid of, and fear is a huge motivator, and huge is what drives the entire climate agenda. There's nothing to be afraid of from offshore. We have a very robust offshore industry right now. How much problem has it caused? And yes, there was Deepwater Horizon. We can go back to 2000 and what year was that? 2010, 2009. That was bad. And you know what? We survived, right? Bad things happen. Bad things happen all the time, and nothing is going to prevent bad things from happening. What we can do is take the most responsible steps to prevent it, to mitigate it. But there's nothing to be afraid of from offshore oil and gas. There's nothing to be afraid of from gas. There's nothing to be afraid of from coal. There's nothing to be afraid of from fossil fuels. So what a big part of what my organization's role is and my jobs is to try to remind people that fossil fuels are awesome and they've given us prosperity. Heck, they're keeping us warm as we're all getting blasted by the climate change of winter, right? Fossil fuels are amazing and we have to celebrate them. We have to develop them responsibly. We have to make them proliferate so that more prolific, so more and more people can have a fossil fuel robust lifestyle. But there's no fear. There should be no fear about offshore oil and gas.
By the way, I have to tell you, you know, I was on vacation. We went to Cancun, Bridger and I. We had a wonderful week down there. Sans kids. And what we lacked in kids, we made up for in tequila. We had a great time. Last day we're there, we're in the pool. There's a pool bar. And we met this nice couple from Chicago. And I said, oh, how's the weather back home? Because it was like, I don't know, 55 degrees back in Jersey, Philly, while we were down there. And the guy's like, oh, it's like 50 degrees, man. This climate change. And I didn't say anything. And his girlfriend didn't say anything either. She just kind of was like awkward, like an awkward moment. She just said something like, well, if that's what it's doing, I'll take it. And now Chicago, of course, is freezing like the rest of America. But you notice that like when we have a polar vortex or we have snow in winter, you know, things we always have in winter, like nobody turns around and goes, oh, it's freaking climate change. But yet they found a way to justify that too, right? They go, well, this polar vortex is really cold, so it's climate change. So if it's warm in winter, it's climate change. If it's cold in winter, it's climate change. I mean, they just found a way to just make it work no matter what.
Exactly. And that's why climate change is going to have a resurgence because of stupidity like what you just said. That's why it's such a great force for the left, who are ultimately a very stupid people. Everything proves climate change. Wind, climate change. No wind, climate change. Snow, climate change. No snow, climate change. And, you know, we don't talk about it as much in the winter as we do in the summer. And that's when climate change is at its summit, right? Because it's hot and it's uncomfortable and it's sticky. But where are the people laying down in traffic right now? Right? How come no one's chaining themselves to the fence and blocking people trying to get to Philadelphia Airport right now for climate change? Well, no one wants to protest in the cold, right? They do it in the sun or in the summertime. But we have to remind people all the time, eight times more people die in the cold than in the heat. Heat is awful, right? And it's uncomfortable and it's hard to sleep, but we survive the heat incredibly well. It's the cold that kills more and more people. And this administration is taking so many steps to make surviving the cold harder. Heck, just yesterday they announced new bans on hot water heaters nationwide.
Yeah.
Again, Trump will try to reverse that. We'll get thrown to the courts. But bans on generators, right? Bans on the products that help us survive the cold, and the cold is going to come regardless of what we do. The cold is going to come again. And are we going to be prepared for it? And thanks to this administration, we're in worse shape.
Now, I want to share a couple headlines with you, Daniel Turner, executive founder and executive director of Power of the Future. Power of the Future is a place fighting communism, fighting for American energy independence. And Daniel is the man himself. Okay, this is an opinion piece from the New York Times. I'm going to read this headline to you. Is America just going to abandon its towns falling into the ocean? All right. Now, what everybody in Jersey is hoping for is that all these towns along the shore that we can't afford do fall into the ocean. And then all the towns right behind it that we still have a ability to buy in. Well, that'll become the oceanfront property and then everybody wins.
I'd love to know what these towns are. there are islands in the Gulf of Mexico, south of Louisiana, that are slowly disappearing, no doubt. They blame it on climate change because that's a lot easier than blaming it on the amount of levees and dikes they built along the Mississippi River after Hurricane Katrina so that New Orleans doesn't flood again. And so none of the silt, which for hundreds of millions of years has washed down the Mississippi River and built up these islands, and now these islands are disappearing. And proof of that the islands are disappearing, is that if you just go a couple miles to the west or to the east, Alabama's fine. right? Texas is, Houston, Galveston is not anymore underwater. So unless there's this big hill in the Gulf that I don't see that explains why these islands are disappearing in Louisiana, there's another cause, right? So where are these islands that are these towns that are disappearing? You look at the Statue of Liberty base, you look at the base of the Golden Gate Bridge, you see photos from 150 years ago. They're exactly the same.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's an inch here, an inch there, okay. But again, this is just all the nonsense, the fear. They have to use fear. You're all going to die from climate change. And now that you've elected Donald Trump and Dave McCormick, you're going to die even faster from even climate change.
Let me read you this piece from the BBC. From nuts to kelp, the carbon negative foods that help reverse climate change.
Yep. You're the one at fault. Again, this is climate change is because of you and your lifestyle. But if you would only become a vegan, if you would only drive the vehicle we want, if you would only live the lifestyle we think you should live, then we wouldn't have these problems. I didn't watch the Golden Globes last night. I don't really, I'm not really into Hollywood, though. Sure.
I didn't even know they were on last night, to be honest with you, until this morning when I heard a bunch of people complaining that they showed
The Penguin, which I thought was great. It reminded me of like Jersey, Brooklyn accents, and it was fantastic, but not enough to watch the Golden Globes. None of those people cared about their carbon footprint yesterday.
Right.
Their $50,000 dresses, their entourage of vehicles, there was no climate change at the Golden Globes, right? There was no climate change in all these climate conferences they have. It's just you and I, you and the listeners. We need to change our lifestyle because we're the bad guys.
The United States spent billions fighting Pacific climate change. Where did it go? See, that's the other thing, too. I mean, this is about control. It's also about money, right? I mean, there's so many groups out there that love to get government grants and all these other things from this stuff, and we have no idea where this money goes. I mean, I'm watching Landman and also watching Tulsa King, which are two great shows by Taylor Sheridan. And a big subplot of this season on Tulsa King is all this money that was set aside for wind turbines, and the money just disappeared. It was all money laundered, basically. But, I mean, so much of this is a scam that is also about money, right?
It really is. And that's why for years I've been honored to come on your show and talk about this. Going back to the Inflation Reduction Act, which was just 2 years old, it cost Senator Joe Manchin from West Virginia, former Senator Joe Manchin, it cost him his Senate seat voting in favor of it. Not one Republican voted for it. But this was an enormous slush fund. It was a green slush fund. And hundreds of billions of dollars have been appropriated, spent, stolen, gifted, et cetera. Remember just a couple months ago in the only debate between Vice President Harris and former President Trump, she bragged about the $1 trillion that they have invested in the green economy. Where did it go?
Yeah.
Right. And how are we? How are we with our gas prices and utility prices? You're paying 30% more for electricity in the Philly area. You've invested $1 trillion so that's how the left brags about the climate agenda. They brag about it in money they've spent and metrics like that. If I spent $500 million, you have that idiot friend who'll tell you like I spent, $48,000 on this watch. And you're like, well, that's great, I guess. Kudos. I mean, that's awesome. You can spend whatever you want, but that doesn't make it smart or good or, and that's how the left sees their climate investments. They brag about how much they've spent on something that the rest of us are just trying to, pay for food on the table.
Now, Daniel Turner, last week we lost former President Jimmy Carter, and I want to share a couple headlines with you about Carter. Here's one. Jimmy Carter raised climate change concerns 35 years before the Paris Accords. He was prescient. Jimmy Carter, the environment, and the road not taken. That's from The Guardian. Your thoughts on former President Jimmy Carter?
Yeah, I struggled with this the day it happened because the Catholic schoolboy in me never wants to speak ill of the dead, and we want to be good
people. Sure.
Jimmy Carter was a terrible president, and he was a terrible man, and he was a terrible post-president as well, with an enormous ego and very thin skin. And he pushed the climate agenda. 100% he pushed it. Don't forget, at the time, he pushed global cooling, right? Because the height of the 70s, documentaries by people like Leonard Nimoy were coming out talking about global cooling and the new ice age. And so he was worried about the climate for the exact opposite reasons, to show how stupid the climate argument was. Jimmy Carter told us, you know, because the experts assured him we would be out of oil by the year 2000. And we've discovered more oil in the last 10 years, basically, than we ever knew that the planet had. Jimmy Carter has been wrong on absolutely every energy decision. And just like the current president, he blames the American people, right? He told them they had a problem of self-confidence. It was their lifestyle. It was their thermostat, you know, put on a sweater, right? When OPEC was threatening to really destroy America, I was alive, but I don't remember it. But when OPEC was literally trying to destroy America with their oil and gas and or their oil embargoes, what did he do? He said, if you have an odd number, get gas on a Monday. If you have an even number license plate, get gas on a Tuesday. There was no vision to defeat OPEC. There was no vision to say, we're going to outproduce, we're going to find our own, we're going to just, no, like, we just succumb. And that's what Joe Biden does as well. When terrorists do something, we just succumb. Well, you know what? Looks like that's happening now in Israel. Too bad. We're just, it's weakness, and it projects weakness, and it invites tyranny. The only good thing Jimmy Carter did was he gave us Ronald Reagan. And the only good thing Joe Biden did, being the awful human being that he is that he's going to give us another Donald Trump.
While I have you, Daniel Turner, two other things I wanted to chat with you about. Number one is in Vermont, where Vermont now has a new law requiring that fossil fuel companies pay a share of the damage caused over several decades by climate change. First of all, how do you prove damage of climate change, number one, is the first part of this. Number two, if you can prove that, how do you prove it's the fault of oil and gas companies?
You can't. And this is just, this is the type of grandstanding that politicians do, and they get these stupid laws passed. This will get held up in the courts and it will get rejected. Kathy Hochul did something similar in New York. She passed a law that said climate change is caused by oil and gas, and she won $75 billion. And this is just all the nonsensical grandstanding. You know, I ask Vermonters right now, as they're getting buried in snow, you know, if they want to give up their fossil fuel lifestyle.
Right.
And the answer to that is, of course, no. Not even the most liberal professor wearing a wool shawl collared sweater sitting in front of a wood burning fireplace in Vermont wants to turn off his thermostat. So you just get sick of these people, and you get sick of this nonsense. We have serious problems facing this country, and it's time for the children to get out of the way.
Now, the other thing, too, is that there's a piece at foreignpolicy.com. I love this one. Trump is quitting the Paris Agreement. Poor countries should, too. Decades of hypocritical climate policies have failed the global south. So we're talking about cold, but there's a lot of countries in the world where they deal with heat, they deal with malaria. Air conditioning has probably saved more lives than anything else, but also, too, the power so that people in these countries are able to refrigerate their food, have the same level of medicine that we have here in the Western world. And the arrogance and the hubris of people that are always screaming about America shouldn't tell the rest of the world how to live. How dare America with its colonialist past, blah, 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 blah. As it tells the quote-unquote developing world, you can't have the same energy that we have that has made us the richest country on the planet.
Yeah, exactly. And that's that type of hypocrisy that really is deadly. And that does cause enormous destruction, especially in developing nations. And those African nations, for example, that are best off are the ones that had infrastructures that were built when they were British colonies. That may offend some people, but that doesn't make it necessarily less true.
Said dykes earlier in the show, so people are offended anyway. So you might as well just go with it.
You see how I threw that word in there legitimately? But you know, if you are in a sub-Saharan country, where heat is the problem. They don't really have cold, but you're absolutely right. Heat exacerbates bacteria growth and infestation. And so refrigeration would do wonders, as would, you know, cleaning up water supplies, and that requires fossil fuels, as would air conditioning, and that requires fossil fuels. And yet we're not allowing these countries to develop these things, and we're patting ourselves on the back saying that we're somehow saving the planet. And that's, you know, some of the people who won these awards by Joe Biden, I think of Jane Goodall the most. You know, her philosophy is genuinely evil. She wants 80% of the world to die so that a couple of monkeys can continue to live. And I just don't know who should die. If Jane Goodall had her policy, don't buy the Nice Old Lady Act. You know, I don't care if she likes monkeys. If her policies were put in place, people would, billions of people would die. And it's the same as the initial part of this conversation. These ideas live in their head. In their head, it sounds great. In their head, it works. But now it's reality time. And reality time is when Joe Biden gets to put in his green agenda, inflation goes up 30% and people are going bankrupt. Well, that's reality, right? If Jane Goodall's reality were to happen, billions of people would die. And is that something to applaud? So I'm tired of celebrating people for their ideas, because ideas can be absolutely deadly. And that's why we have Karl Marx to thank for ideas turning deadly. So, yeah, what we're doing to the developing world on behalf of the climate is genuinely evil. And hopefully it will come to an end in 13 more days.
Well said, my friend. Daniel Turner, follow him on X at Daniel Turner PTF, and go to powerthefuture.com and follow them on Power the Future on X as well. Always a pleasure, my friend. Happy New Year, brother. I look forward to having you on the show a lot this year as we restore common sense and leadership to the world. Thank you, buddy.
It's going
to
be a great year, Rich. Thanks so much.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Do you want to build a snowman? I got asked that question 500 times today on this historic winter storm where we've got about a couple inches. But thank God the kids are out of school today. I mean, thank God. I tell you, as a parent, and welcome back to our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on this historic snow day. Donald Trump, of course, certified as the President of the United States of America. Kamala Harris having the unfortunate, awkward moment where she had to announce that Donald Trump was the certified president-elect of the United States of America and her role as vice president. And I got to tell you, I mean, how many times listening to her, and this is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Venaria, VenariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Start the new year off right with a beautiful smile that you deserve. VenariaDental.com. This awkward moment today, I mean, just, I don't even know what to say. What do you say to this?
The number of the electors appointed to vote for President of the United States is 538. Within that whole number, the majority is 270. The votes for President of the United States are as follows. Donald J. Trump of the state of Florida has received 312 votes. Kamala D. Harris.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's awkward. Oof.
Oh. Kamala D. Harris of the state of California has received 226 votes.
Ouch. Ah, that's a pity clap. That's a pity clap right there. It's a pity clap. Oof. Yeah, I know.
Full number of the electors appointed.
That's just, oh, I'm telling you. But here's the thing about that whole situation is that she has no sense of humor. Because, I mean, if it were me, I'd be making jokes up there. I'd be like, but yet somehow I won. Look at me. I mean, make a joke. Crack a smile. Something. That's what makes it even more awkward. But then again, if Kamala Harris had that kind of sense of humor, she might have been a better, more effective politician. Let's be honest. And I mean, if you're in that situation and you can't find a way to make it at least like lighten the tension a little bit and like flip the results, flip the names or something, you'd be like, Kamala Harris receives 317. Oh, sorry, my bad. That's Donald Trump, the guy who beat me. Oops. I don't know. Show some personality in that moment. Am I right? It's a little bit of personality, but anyway, so Trump is now the president here on this high holy day of the left, January the 6th, Fugazi Insurrection Day. And I don't even really want to get into the past. I just want to look at the future, although Joe Biden is trying to do everything he possibly can on the way out the door to make the incoming administration for Donald Trump incredibly, incredibly difficult, as we talked about with Daniel Turner in our last segment on our fourth and final hour here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. No, but I got asked, you know, Daddy, do you want to build a snowman like 500 times today? And when this show's over, I've got to go make hot cocoa. I'm on hot cocoa duty. Kids were in and out sledding today. But it's a lot of fun. It really is. It's a lot of fun. And the thing about it is that when school is canceled today, and the kids are home, and you're trying to work, it's not easy. It's not easy. And parents know exactly what I mean by this. But even if you don't have to work, it's still not easy because they want to go outside. And for me, I'm still dealing with this foot thing, so I can't. My foot is still so swollen. I'm going to see the doctor again tomorrow. It's infected again. I know. And I still can't get into a regular shoe. So I got to wear a boot. But the problem is I can't fit into a snow boot either. So I'm kind of housebound. So I'm on hot cocoa duty, and I'm on. I'll do dinner after the show, and as they're out there having a nighttime snowball fight, and it's fun. I mean, good for them. It's great for your kids. Snow days are great. The thing about it is that I believe in a snow day, and I'm glad they get them because when we were kids, we had them, and they were beautiful, wonderful things. And then they got real stingy with them. You know what I mean? And I know the kids should, they could absolutely have gone to school today. At the same time, as a kid, the joy of having a snow day. Like my kids last night when I put them to bed, Patrick was wearing a special shirt to wish good luck for a snow day. Reagan and Claire both had on their special snow Christmas pajamas, hoping for a snow day today. And then this morning at 5:30 when I checked my phone and saw the school district had announced that school was canceled, even though I don't even think a freaking drop had hit the ground yet, turned off the alarm, went back to bed. Not that I was going to get up at 5:30 anyway. What do I do? Morning? Stop. It's crazy. Stop it. And then when the kids finally woke up, they were just psyched. But the French Toast Industrial Complex, and as I mentioned earlier in the show, if you have not seen Philly Talk, our buddy on X, put together this incredible conspiracy flowchart of just who's behind the hysteria behind storms. And it's not just the French Toast Industrial Complex. You got Big Shovel. You got Big Salt. You have idiot politicians like King Philip the Unaccountable, his royal rugness, Phil Murphy, who declared a state of emergency last night before a single drop had even hit the ground. Like before it even a cloud rolled in. There's many elements to the French Toast Industrial Complex, but we did not make French toast today. Instead, my kids wanted straight old school chocolate chip pancakes, which I was more than happy to oblige. But anyway, the point is this. It's a rite of passage for being a kid to have a snowball fight. And I don't even know if you can do that anymore. Trump's president again. You can have snowball fights again. And you can build snowmen. Because, you know, for the last 4 years, legally, they had to be called snow persons. I don't know if you know that or not. And my kids like to do the carrot for the nose and the blueberries for the eyes. And in the past, you know, the last 4 years, you were not allowed to give the snow person not that the kids would use any. You get the point. But it says they built a snowman. And I'm glad. Because we were all walking on eggshells with the whole snow person thing. So thank God we got that out of our system. That's really, really good. I'm glad to hear that. But as far as the media goes with their complicity in overhyping storms, they also went with the complicity in underhyping Joe Biden's very, very obvious cognitive decline when he would just stop mid-sentence and just shake hands with dead people and have lunch and tea with Margaret Thatcher, among other things that he would do. Oh, yeah, there are the kids right now coming back in from. Well, it's dark and cold out. And I give him credit for being out there this late. All right, we're almost at the show's end, right? Chuck Schumer over the weekend with Kristen Welker. I love how now all these responsible journalists are now trying to call out members of the Democrat Party for their own complicity in hiding Joe Biden's cognitive decline, acting like they were not part of it. Kamala Harris having to certify her own election loss today is kind of like the guy who has to give away his ex-wife at the wedding. It's very awkward. But and now what the press is trying to do is to act like they really didn't see Joe Biden's cognitive decline. They just believed lying Democrat politicians. But even if that's true, and it's not, then isn't that a wake-up call for so-called journalists in this country that maybe you should stop listening to Democrats and doing their bidding all the time? And it's not even listening. You were complicit in it. You were covering up for this, the unholy triad of government, the corporate media, and big tech prior to Elon Musk. So stop acting like now you're the arbiters of truth. You never were. You were there to do the bidding because you wanted Joe Biden to be the nominee, because you were you thought he could beat Trump. And look, he couldn't, but certainly his replacement could not. And that's the only reason why they kept that old codger in as long as they did. They always had the goods to get him out of the race with Ukraine, but they kept him in as long as they could because they knew Kamala Harris was going to lose. But listen to this exchange. This is pretty amazing here.
Focus on President Biden's role in this. You were obviously in close contact with President Biden well before the public tuned into that debate that ultimately led to him stepping down. I want to play you a little bit of something you said last year. Take a look.
I talked to President Biden, you know, regularly, off sometimes several times in a week, or usually several times in a week. His mental acuity is great. It's fine. It's as good as it's been over the years. All this right-wing propaganda that his mental acuity has declined is wrong.
Leader Schumer, what do you say to Americans who feel as though you and other top Democrats misled them about President Biden's mental acuity?
Look, we didn't. And let's look at President Biden.
He didn't.
He's had an amazing record. The legislation we passed, one of the most significant groups of legislation since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society.
Hey, dude, why don't you go grill a rare, I mean, under like frozen cheeseburger and zip it? Because I don't the lies here. But Christian Welker, not for nothing. Kristen, not for nothing, but you let them cover for Joe Biden's obvious cognitive decline. Like, you let them do that. That's what you did. You were in on this. You guys were all in on this. So stop.
Putting in 235 judges, a record, and he's a patriot. He's a great.
Oh, stop it! It's enough. The gaslighting by you people, the gaslighting and the lies. We all see through it. All right, more to come in our fourth and final hour on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on this historic blizzard January 6th Insurrection Day, the high holy day of the left. Don't go away.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, before I get out of here and go build a snowman, I just want to say I do think it is fascinating that the Democrats have not fully learned the lesson of their defeat, which is that they tried to hide the obvious cognitive decline of a corrupt SOB. And let's be honest here, that's exactly what Joe Biden is and was, a corrupt SOB. I mean, as early as 2020, they knew the guy had cognitive decline, and they were trying to hide him from the press. But they decided to package this guy and sell us something that was not real, which is Joe Biden being this guy who could go out there and keep America safe from COVID, keep America safe from mean tweets. And they tried to do this and they tried to pull this off and it didn't work. And they're shocked that they lost this election. When they try to do it exactly again with Kamala Harris and Barack Obama and Michelle Obama all coming out there and packaging up somebody who obviously had no ability to be the candidate, was never elected by anybody to be the candidate, and they put this person out there in a Hollywood-style production to make everybody believe that this person could do the job, and she couldn't. But they thought, that's all right, we just do big glossy. Big glossy campaign commercials, and we'll be fine. All right? We'll be fine. We'll go out there and we'll make a Hollywood-style production, and everybody will buy it, and then we'll be good. And then we'll go out there and we'll beat the bad orange man, mean man. At some point, they have to recognize their policies stink and they don't connect with the American people. And I don't know if they ever will, to be honest with you, because I think their base is still just absolutely bonkers. And I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 4 years. I mean, they are probably going to pretend to want to reach across the aisle. But remember, the base is going to start screaming about obstructing Donald Trump. That's what the base is going to do. The base does not want to cooperate in any way, shape, or form. The base wants to live in the past, and they want to pretend like Donald Trump is this terrible, terrible person, and they want to believe this. I mean, Bill Maher saying to John Cryer, "You're going to lose the next one because you go out there and you call Trump a racist and you call Trump Hitler and you do all these things." It's exactly right. Like, you're going to lose the next one, dude, because you guys don't get it, and you never will get it. Because you have no policies to run on, so you just keep running on Donald Trump bad. And you think that that's the pathway to victory. And for Donald Trump, I mean, he won with such a landslide victory in the Electoral College and also with Electoral College and the popular vote, too. That, I mean, for Trump, he goes in with a mandate of get it done, get stuff done. And like I've told you before, the only people that he has to worry about at this point are members of his own party who try to obstruct him. And as long as they don't do that, as long as they work with him, as long as they try to get it done, they'll get it done. They'll get it done, because let's think about this now. There are with Justin Trudeau to the north going down today, announcing he's going down, is the same thing with lefty politicians in America. They lost because people are fed up with their lack of vision, and they're fed up with the fact that these people go out there and act like they're better than them, lock people down, take away their freedom, take away their liberty, and act like they know better. People are sick of that crap. They don't want that crap. I love when Biden snapped at that reporter, though. This is great.
Do you still believe he's a threat to democracy?
I know more world leaders than any one of you ever met in your whole goddamn life.
Whoa! Whoa! Dropping the G-bomb! Using the Lord's name in vain, Mr. President.
So, Bill, just to reiterate there, President Biden calling former President Trump...
And by the way, he does know more world leaders. Now, many of them are dead, but he does know more world leaders than you, okay? He does know many more world leaders than you. He's great friends with Churchill. He just had lunch just the other day with Justin Trudeau's father. I'm not telling you which one, but so, yeah, he's not wrong. He does know a lot more world leaders than you do. So just remember that fat. Remember that time Biden called that guy fat on the campaign trail? He's a nasty guy. He really is. Nasty guy. Anyway, I think 2025 is going to be a great year for us. I'm looking forward to it. So enjoy the rest of this snowpocalypse. I hope you survive. I hope your family's okay. Get that hot cocoa brewing, kids. We'll be back tomorrow for a full show, of course, 3 to 7 p.m. right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Keep the conversation going on X at Rich Zeoli. Thank you.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.